Well, good morning, everybody. It's time to come together for prayer. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs, and this is the Prayer Closet. It's that time we take out of every day to pray together, to walk that quiet aisle, to lift each other up in the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer@yeshome.com. That's prayer@yeshome.com. Either way, let us know how we can pray for you today. Whatever it may be, whatever's laying on your heart. Could be something, a burden, a concern, a care. It's weighing heavy on your heart. Could be a praise, a celebration. Maybe you're rejoicing in something God has done. You want to give praise for God for that. Whatever it may be, let's share together in the Lord. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We don't give out your name or information unless you specifically ask. Some folks do ask us to use their name. They like to be prayed for by name, and that's fine. We're happy to do that. But unless you ask, we keep it anonymous. You don't even have to tell us who you are when you call in. So if it's something personal, that's okay. We still want you to get the prayer that you need. So you don't even have to tell us who you are when you call in. God knows who you are, and that's what matters. 419-389-0893. Call or text. Email or text prayer@yeshome.com. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity we have to come together in the prayer closet to pray for one another, encourage one another, strengthen each other in your word. Lord, we pray that you would move with power, might, and strength in the lives of your people, that they would grow and be strengthened by you, and that in you, Lord, they would find all their hope and help in every situation and every need, because we know that you are faithful in everything, because you are good, gracious, and mighty God. And we thank you, we praise you, we give you all glory this day, Lord, and pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into the prayer closet, or into prayer, I guess we're already in the prayer closet, but before we get into prayer, we always like to get into the Word of God to get our hearts set in prayer, ready for prayer. And today we're going to be in Acts chapter 6. And as you know, we're called to do many things in our lives. God is going to put a call on our life and have us that he wants us to focus on and spend our time on. And we're meant to, that's meant to be kind of the primary work of our life. And it's going to be different for all of us, what God has for us. One of the challenges that we have is that the devil can come in and distract us. And often not with bad things, but with good things. There's an old quote, I forget who said it, old saint of the church once said, busyness isn't of the devil, it is the devil. Sometimes we can get so busy doing good things that we're not doing the thing we've been called to do. I remember there's a time when I was doing the morning show, and I was pastoring a church, and an opportunity came up to take on another church. And I got talked into doing that. And so I was pastoring two churches, doing the morning show. I had a wife, I had young kids at home. And it was insane. My days would start at, you know, 5:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning whenever I get up. And then, you know, I was going until 9, 10 o'clock at night. And I was doing that 6-7 days a week. And eventually I just, you know, wore down. You can't keep up that kind of schedule. And I just completely burn out. And eventually, you know, merge the churches and, you know, just some things happened. But I realized I had to let go of some things. But one of the things I realized in the midst of that was, and one of the things God showed me, I say I realized, it's not me. One of the things God showed me in that was that I had become so busy doing good stuff, right? Pastoring two churches, doing the morning show. It's all ministry stuff. But I'm so busy doing it. One, I wasn't doing anything very well because it's just, you can't do that much and do it well. And two, I really wasn't focusing on the things that he had called me to focus on. I didn't have the time to do it. And when I did have the time, I didn't have the energy because I was always exhausted. And so I was neglecting the very thing that God had called me to do. And it's so easy to get there. It's so easy to get caught up doing good things in our life. You know, they're not bad there. We're not caught up in sin. We're not neglecting God. We're not, you know, turning away from God or falling away. We're doing good stuff. But it's not the stuff God has called us to. We see an example of that in Acts chapter 6. It says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, this is starting verse 1, chapter 6, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And we will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. And this proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and also of the Holy Spirit, and also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. And they presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. So the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So here we have a situation where there's a dispute arising in the church between the what's called the Grecian Jews and the Hebraic Jews. And there were basically two groups of Jews in that day. I mean, there are lots of subgroups, but two main groups. The Grecian Jews, these were generally also called Hellenists. And a lot of times they were born outside of Palestine, in Jewish communities outside of Israel. They spoke Greek, and really in their lives, they were more Greek than they were Jewish, at least in their attitudes and their outlook. So they may still follow the law and stuff, but in their attitudes and outlook, they were more Grecian because that was the influence they'd risen under. As opposed to the Hebraic Jews, generally those who were born in Israel, they tended to speak Aramaic or Hebrew, and they preserved Jewish cultures and customs. They were more likely to keep those cultures and customs. They were more Jewish, if you will. And so there became a conflict between them, especially in the early church, because the early church, there was a lot of Hellenists in the early church, a lot of the Grecian Jews in the early church, because it was less of a, honestly, it was less of a stretch for them to convert to Christianity than for the Hebraic Jews. Because the Hellenists had already kind of adopted some of the Greek cultures and stuff, so to surrender some of the things of the law, like, you know, the food laws and things like that, and to realize they're no longer under law but under grace, that was less of a step for them than the Hebraic Jews, culturally speaking. So there were a lot of Hellenists in the early church. And while the early church was still primarily Jewish, not all Jews were the same in this respect. And so there was basically discrimination going on. You know, the Hebraic Jews were being fed, their widows, those women in need, were getting, you know, all the rations, and then the Hebraic Jews were kind of getting the leftovers. their widows were getting the leftovers. And so they needed to, somebody needed to oversee this, make sure everybody was getting equal amounts and not based on whether you were a Hebraic Jew or a Hellenistic Jew. And so this comes before the disciples, right? They bring this to the disciples, say, hey, you know, we got a problem here. This is being unfair. It's unfair in how this is being distributed. And so the disciples, you know, they got to deal with this, but they realize, you know, they can't constantly be dealing with disputes like this. They're in charge of running the church and doing all this, and that right now they're being asked to solve all these problems and logistical issues and things like that. So they gather the 12 together. Well, the 12 gather all the disciples together. They gather the church together is what we're saying. And then they say in this statement, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Now, it sounds like, we read that, it sounds like they don't think this is very important. That this is beneath them. We're the 12. We walked with Jesus. We're not here to solve your petty little problems about whose widows are getting what food. All right, this is beneath our attention. It's not worthy of us. Don't bother us with these trivialities. Right? I mean, it can come across like that, but that's not at all what they're saying. They're not saying that this isn't important, or they're not saying that this is beneath them. That would, of course, be contrary to the teachings of Jesus, which told us to be a servant to all. So when they say this, they're not, it's not arrogance. It's not spiritual arrogance. They're not violating Jesus' command to make yourself a servant of all. They're not saying that this is beneath us. What they are saying, notice what they say next. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose seven men among you who are known for the Spirit. Tell them to choose seven men, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. What they are saying is that our focus, God has called us to the ministry of prayer and the word. That's our main thing. That's the number one thing we've been called to. This is what we learn from Jesus. We are called to the ministry of prayer and the word. That's our main focus. That's where the majority of our time needs to be. Doesn't mean we can't ever do anything else, but that's where our time needs to be spent because that's what God has called us to. And if we get caught up doing this other stuff, we're not going to be doing the thing God has called us to. We're going to be distracted from our main purpose with this other thing. Now, that other thing isn't important or good, and they show, by the way, how important they think it is. They don't say, hey, we can't be bothered with waiting on tables. We've got to do the ministry of prayer and the word. You guys go figure this out. They don't say that. What do they say? They say, brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. See, they don't just turn this over to anybody. They don't say, you know what, anybody can handle this. This is just a logistical thing. Just give everybody equally. This shouldn't be a problem. Knock it off. Let's just get this taken care of. That's not at all what they're saying. They're saying, let's get seven people. Take about seven men. They should be able to handle this. But I want men who are full of the Spirit and wisdom. In other words, we want mature spiritual men. And it gives us that list that we read earlier. And one of them, Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. He's going to become one of the first martyrs of the church. As we'll see later on in chapter 6. This is one of the great figures of the church. Who boldly proclaimed the gospel and paid for it with his life. So they didn't just say, let's just turn this over to anybody. They said, we need men who are wise, men who are full of the Spirit of God. We need spiritually mature, spiritually wise people to handle this. Because it is important, and it does matter. So let's put it in the hands of responsible people who will deal with it in the proper way. So that this tension in the church doesn't grow. right? We got tension here. We got conflict in the church. This isn't good. And the disciples would have known that wasn't good. We need to get wise, spiritual, mature people in there to deal with this, de-escalate this tension, resolve this issue, and bring unity back to the fellowship. So it's an important issue, not just logistically. It's not just an important issue in terms of making sure everybody gets fed. It's an important issue spiritually and for the spiritual well-being of the church. This is left to go unaddressed. It's going to cause problems. There's going to be rifts and splits, and that's not good. So they recognize the importance of the issue. They recognize the importance of putting good people in charge of it. Good, spiritually mature, strong men in charge of this to take care of it. So they in no way treat this like something that's beneath them or not important. Rather, what they're saying is, we need to be able to focus on what we're called to do. And this isn't it. Sometimes, in order to do the great things God's called us to do, we need to say no to good opportunities that come. There's a book out there called Good is the Enemy of Great. Right? That we settle for good instead of great. And it's easy to say, you know, bad is the enemy of great, but we know bad's bad, right? We know bad needs to be improved. But we can look upon good and say, that's good. It's good. And we become satisfied with that. And it never allows us to be great. Well, in kind of the same way, it's not an exact parallel, but in the same way, you know, God has called each of us to something. There's a way he's called us to spend our time, to use our talents and abilities. And that needs to be the main focus of what we do. And there might be good things that come along that we have opportunity to do, but by doing them, it will keep us from doing the thing God has called us to do. And there may be times in our walk and faith where we need to say no to good things. And it's okay to do so. But we need to say, I need someone else to take care of that. I need someone else to deal with that. Can someone else, you know, you need to find someone else for that. Because I have this, I have that. Not every good thing, every good opportunity that comes along is an opportunity for us to take. Now, some maybe, right? There's, you know, we're going to be called to a main thing, but that doesn't mean that's the only thing we can do. And there might be other opportunities and things that we can do along the way that we can do without hindering our main thing. But we need to be working in that area where God has called us. So if God's laid on your heart to start a ministry for the elderly and shut-ins in your church, right? You look around and you realize we got a lot of elderly and shut-ins in our church and nobody's really ministering to these people. And we need to go and deal with them. Help them out. And so you set up the ministry and you get that running and rolling, and it's going great in your church, and the church looks at you and says, man, you did such a great job setting up that ministry for the elderly and shut-ins. What if you, could you also do something for our youth? And you did work that same magic with our youth. Well, that's a totally different thing. And if you spend all your time on that, trying to get that developed and going, what's going to happen? You're neglecting your main ministry. It's going to start falling apart. We need to know where God has called us. And we need to focus on the main thing. Right? Not exclusively. It doesn't mean we can't help out here and there and other places. But we need to make sure that whatever we're saying yes to is in no way hindering or keeping us from doing the main thing. The disciples saw something that needed to be addressed, but they knew that if they spent all their time on that, they wouldn't be able to do the main thing. So they addressed it. I mean, they did address it. They got good, godly men to take care of it and be responsible for it. They didn't just neglect the problem. They made arrangements for it to get taken care of, but in a way that would allow them to stay focused on what God had called them to do. What has God called you to do? Where has he called you to spend your time, your efforts, your resources, your talents, your abilities? Focus on that. Don't let even good things keep you from doing the one thing that God has called you to do.